And I'm so excited because this is something that for 2 years I have been in. And you can ask Morgan, there'll be days where I've noticed it's kind of rampant throughout the body of Christ. It is a fear and an anxiety and how it can ruin your life, and you don't know where it's coming from or why it's there. I've been times where I'm I'll be in the truck and fear just falls on me. And I'm so, like, it's almost paralyzing how bad it is. And I didn't know. And it almost breaks down the body, your physical body. It's so heavy that it's so hard to deal with it. And I didn't know quite how to deal with it. And I didn't know why it was coming on me. And so that's what I want to talk to you tonight about. And peace and rest are so valuable in our lives. Because if you don't have peace and rest, you can't be in faith. Because you're either in fear or you're in faith. And people have been in fear for so long that they forget they're even in fear. And it's so part of them. It's ingrained in their makeup. You guys know what I'm saying? Some people have grown up with their parents constantly worried and fearful. Well, where does it stop? Maybe it where does it really stop? The mental institution? The crazy house? Where does it stop? And I've learned to tell when that comes, and the devil has no new devices. But if you've never done it before, he can get in the easiest ways that you wouldn't imagine. It's things that start off so little that become the biggest things. Now, I was reading about the little foxes spoil the vine. You guys heard that? Well, that's where it starts in fear. It starts with the little things, everyday life. You know, there was a time when I kept hearing in my head, someone's going to steal your child. Someone's going to steal your child. Have you ever had that come to you? And I have a monitor in my room that shows my son in his crib. You guys have seen those, and maybe you have those. And some people just take those thoughts and process them. They don't talk to those thoughts. They don't rebuttal those thoughts. Because sometimes you've been listening to those thoughts for so long that they become part of you. And you forget that that's the device of the enemy. And so I woke up one night, and I heard those thoughts said, someone's going to steal your child. You need to go look at the monitor and see if your child's there. And I realized that as being the devil trying to put that fear inside of me. Now, what does he want you to do? He wants you to get up and go check. Because what is that? That's you acting in fear. That's you acting in fear. And how many times do we just listen to that? And we jump up and go check. Or you're going to get the flu or this or that. And we process those things. And then we once we start processing that, it's like a seed is put down inside of you. And you have to poison that seed with your words and say no. And I told the devil, I said, I will not get up and see if my child's there. He will be there in the morning. And that's just a device of the enemy. He's been using it from the beginning of time. You guys hear what I'm saying? And we need to recognize when fear comes. And some of you, and Morgan's grandma, she's, what, 85? I don't know. And you go up and you say, hi, Bambi, how are you doing? She's like, oh, I was just worried to death that y'all wouldn't make it. You know, or just worried over this and worried over that. You guys know what I'm saying? Is worried about this, worried about that, worried that maybe I'm going to call and see if they're okay. I'm going to do this and do that. It's all out of fear. It's all out of fear. And where does it stop? My family, my grandma, I never met her. which is my dad's mother, is I never met her in my life. She died before I was born, but my dad would tell stories of her and about how she was always in fear over some stupid, if he had like flakes in his hair or anything, we got to go to the doctor, we got to check this, we got to check that. And you know, it started out that way, but she ended up in a mental institution. Because it was never addressed. You guys see what I'm saying? And you can't be in fear, or faith and fear at the same time. And I have struggled with there's different levels of it, and I'm gonna try to cover all of it tonight, but let's go to 2 Timothy 1:7, and I want to preach out of the Amplified, and I'm going to mostly talk out of the Amplified because it kind of goes into more of a depth of words that help me. Amen. Are you guys excited tonight?
Yeah.
Praise God. I'm excited because I want us to live victorious.
Yeah.
I'm tired of being put down by the devil. And taking those thoughts and being in fear over nothing. It doesn't amount to nothing when you really think about it. Because we're covered by the blood of Jesus, but instead we've took the devil's words and we've been focusing on them instead of the word of God. Amen? 2 Timothy 1:7, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified. It says, "For God has not given us the spirit of," what is that? Timidity, of cowardice, of crawling and creating fear, and then we'll go down here and it says, but he has given us a spirit of power, love, and of calm and well-balanced mind, and discipline and self-control. Let me tell you something about a well-balanced mind. It is so crucial that because I have been so disturbed for the last 2 years, that I told Morgan, I told her, I want to be the best husband, the best father I can be. Yeah. And sometimes those attacks come so bad that I can't be the person that I need to be. And for the rest of your life, the devil will always be at your doorstep looking for a place to get in. I'm going to give you an illustration. We have a shed in the back of our church. Thing's been robbed like 5 times. It's been robbed. And I just was so full of it. So we put garage doors, put all this high-tech stuff, doors, everything. And I'm going to associate it with the devil here in a second. So we put all this stuff on. Garage doors, because it had like trash wood doors, and the front door was wood. You just kick it down. Stole all my tools, stole all my stuff. It was all gone. So the next time, it's been like a year or two since it's been robbed, we put new stuff on. The thing sealed up like a rock as far as I thought. But there was a swamp cooler that was in the wall. And it's been there for so long, I never saw it. Because it's always just been there, and I never thought about it because I've always just seen it, and it's always just been there. And then come to know, I didn't see it. And when a thief comes to rob a place, they're going to go to the place of least resistance.
Sure.
You guys see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I didn't think about it because it was always there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, when they came and I opened the door, there's crap everywhere. Yeah. I thought, you feel so violated when you've been robbed, you know, because you didn't even see it coming. You thought you had it, and the door was locked, everything was locked up. They had ripped the swamp cooler out of the wall and went in that way. Never saw it for some reason because it was always there. The devil will always find the path of least resistance in your life. Where's the door open? Where's the door open in your life? You guys see what I'm saying? Maybe it's your kids. Maybe it's worry over your job, over your husbands and wife. I can't tell you how many times people that I've heard of is over fear over their wives or husbands having an affair that never even happened.
Come on,
that it's not even it wasn't even there. But you see, the devil puts those thoughts in your mind to destroy your life. Because it ruins your marriage because they think you're having an affair and I'm not, and this and that. Bam, it's all done. Right. See how that works? Yeah. So you can't take those things and process them. Yeah. Now, now you say, how do you deal with it? How do you, have to talk back to those words. Yeah. Let me give you another illustration. I like illustrations. Yeah. Yeah. I like everyday life.
Yeah, that's right.
My grandpa, a cotton and wheat farmer. He's my kind of guy. If you're an idiot, he'll cuss you down, you know? And his name's Kenneth Chapman. He lives in Altus, Oklahoma. Well, come to find out, there's another Kenneth Chapman that lives in Altus, Oklahoma. And I guess not my grandpa Kenneth, but the other one was getting letters in the mail about being foreclosed on, sued, all this stuff. Well, they sent it to him. They sent it to my grandpa, and that's not the case. It's to the other one. He called down there, said, look, y'all need to come get your mail. Wrong Kenneth. Wrong place. Okay, we'll come get it. This has been like 3 months, same thing, getting it in the mail. I was there, and he got a thing in the mail, and he's hot. He called those girls down there at the phone and chewed them out, man. Just chewed them out, just welled into them. Like, I don't remember, I was just laughing the whole time. And man, I thought he was gonna croak over right there because he's an older guy and he was just welling into them. He grabs the phone when he's done, hangs it up, says, you know what? Sometimes you just gotta treat people like dogs. And I said, how much is that true that we gotta talk to the devil like he's a dog? Is that how much you had a gut full that when you come home and that dog's there peeing on your tire that you just, that's it. I've had enough. That's the last straw. I ain't gonna take no more. You guys know what I'm saying? Enough's enough. And I made up my mind, I'm gonna talk to the devil like he's a dog. Because I'm tired of him, because if you don't deal with him, he's just going to keep on throwing them thoughts in your head. Can I hear an amen? You're going to have to be bigger than him. You're going to have to talk bigger than him. Or else he's just going to keep throwing that junk in your head, trying to run you down. Now, me being associated with Dr. Dufresne, being his son, this has been a time in his life where there has been great opposition, tests and trials. And when, for example, if I can give it this way, when a kingdom's in trouble, the rest of the nation feels it. When there's a financial difficulty in a nation, when there is a, and that's the same in the ministry. When the head man is being attacked, and this is what I told our staff, and it's very important to associate this with the attack and not that it's to get to the top. And what I realize is this whole test and trial for 2 years, and I've dealt with it, there's been bad days where I've had to deal with it. And I said, you know, when your body is exhausted from fear and anxiety, there'll be times in the truck where I just pull over to the side of the road and just want to just lean over in the chair and say, I can't take anymore. It gets so bad sometimes, but you just have to keep standing. You just have to keep standing and talking the word, even though your physical body is worn out. Fear will wear your physical body out. That's why people are in mental institutions, because their physical bodies can't take it and deal with that. Yet the body wasn't never meant to handle fear. And fear is the most devastating instrument ever that's been used. Fear is just something that other countries try to intimidate other countries with fear. And the devil knows that because he was the creator of it. Now, back to my dad, is when he's under a test and trial, anyone associated with him is going to feel that test and trial. Me being the son, If the devil were to get to me, I don't know where it would end in my family. If he could tear me apart, me and my dad are so close. Now think about that. If he could get to me and tear me down, you see what I'm saying? And so when that test and trial comes, especially with the, and I told this to our staff, I said, because it's gone through our church, it's gone through our staff, that fear, anxiety, just a spirit of worriness. And I said, because the devil talks, or the Bible talks about stages that you're going to go through. And you're just going to have to get through them. They're going to be tough, but you're going to get through it. If there was something in the Bible where I could say something and it all go away, I would do it. You see what I'm saying? But that's what your faith is for. It's for the hard times when it gets tight, is that we stand on the Word of God. Let's go over here to Psalms real quick. You guys probably learned that in your Sunday. You know the, oh, which one is it? I walk through the valley, the shadow of death and all that. Yep. It's 23, Psalms 23. Let's go to 4, verse 4. And then it says here, and I just want to read this one verse, says, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And it says here that there's going to be times when you go to some dark places in life, that things are going to get tight and dark all the way around you. But you know what? But God's with us. And we're going to have to stand and come out on the other side of that valley. Amen? And that scripture spoke to me so much. And I'm going to go to the rest of the scripture later. But back to my dad, is what I noticed is that attack is associated with my dad. Imagine a pyramid. You have a pyramid like that. If the devil can start pulling bricks underneath that pyramid, what's going to happen? The top's going to come down. And that's the way the devil works. And most people don't even notice it because they don't see the attack as associated even with somebody else that you're hooked up with. I can't tell you how many times staff members have come to our church that we've hired and couldn't take the heat, gone in 3 days because it gets too hot, they're out. I'm not going to handle it. I can't deal with it. It might have been the will of God for them to come there. But they were given a chance that they had to come, but the heat's too high. We're out. That's when you know you're associated in the right place, when things start getting hot. Because if you're out doing nothing, the devil's like, he ain't doing nothing anyways. Imagine an army. You have an army. You have, what are they, platoons, things. The ones on the front are going to be attacked the most. The ones way in the back, they're not affecting the front. So they didn't go after them. They go after the men in the front. And it's the same thing in war. It's the same tactic. You know, when it starts getting laid on the heaviest, laid on the hardest, that's when the end is close. And he's doing, it's called guerrilla warfare and last-ditch efforts. It's called, I'm a huge fan of World War II. I've studied a lot about it. And when it got the most gruesome was in the last part of it. Where it got so dirty that all rules don't exist anymore. There is no more rules. We don't got nothing left. It's called grasping. You're just trying to destroy that other one, whatever it'll take. You don't, and the devil doesn't care what damage he causes by any means. You see what I'm saying? It's just a destruction. And you have to realize that when you're associated with the right general, they're coming after the general. But if they can get to the bottom and start knocking those off, get to the top. And you being a congregation, sometimes things might get hard around here, but it's because you're going into a different place. Your pastor might be going to a different place, but he's trying to knock y'all out to get to the top. You see how that works? And God revealed that to me one day as I was going down in my truck, and I said, I see it now. Yeah. I see it. Yeah. That's what it is. Yeah. It's not me. Yeah. But the devil's trying to take me out. Yeah. Yeah. You see how that works? Yeah. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Are y'all helped? Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to have to stop waiting on the Lord to do something. There's so many people that are laying in bed under fear, anxiety, worry. And it could be over anything. Some it's money. Some people don't worry about money. Some it's other things, husband, wives, children, jobs. And I made up my mind I ain't going to be worried in life. I am tired of being worried in life. I'm going to live a joy. Life is too short to go through the whole thing worried. And under anxiety. And that's something, there's some people that might never experience in the way that I have or our pastors will. You might never feel it.
Sure.
Because the level isn't as high.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But the devils will come after you no matter what because you're associated.
Sure.
And you need to associate that with being in the right place.
Yeah.
Amen.
Come on,
so, let's go to Luke 4:13. This is the Amplified. And I'm going to try to, I don't have my notebook. I keep it on my iPad, but I'm going to try to switch back and forth here. And I want to read what I tell you, 4:13. Okay, and I'm going to read out of the Amplified. And when the devil had ended every... Now, this is Jesus. This is when he went into the wilderness and was tempted in every way. He had no food, nothing. Now, you can imagine his physical body was shot. You know, the physical body is just tired. But he keeps on here. And I want to see, when he got to the other side, you will come to another side.
Yeah.
And it says, when the devil had ended every the complete cycle of the temptation, he temporarily left him, that is, stood off from him until another more opportune and favorable time.
Wow.
Even though he overcame that test and trial, the devil will always come back.
Yeah.
And it says here in the Bible, even to Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
Even though that temptation was so hard and thick and heavy, the devil will be back.
Yeah.
And if you don't learn to deal with them the first time round, you'll never get to the next deal because you ain't going to make it.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine.
Yeah.
Starts out with the little things. You don't conquer the little things. That's been my thing. Is there's little things that that were bothering me, down to the core, and I never really noticed it as being the devil. You just think it's you, or sometimes I get this. I don't know. Almost it's an anxiety. I got to get out of here. I got to get out of here. I got to just leave. I don't care where I go. I just got to leave. Well, that's the devil. Trying to get you just to leave so you can get some relief. That's what it feels like. I will do whatever I have to do to get some relief. I got to get out of here. Well, that's not the case. You got to deal with it because once you leave and go somewhere else, it's going to be something else. You guys see what I'm saying? You have to deal with it and nip it in the rear end right when it starts. And some of you might have been doing it your whole life now. And not even notice that you're worried about it and worried about this and worried about that. Realize that you're worrying about it.
Yeah.
And because there's times when I'm thinking about stuff and say, wow, I was just worrying about that. No, I'm not going to think about that. You have to recognize it and deal with it. If you don't, it'll just keep building.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
It's so important that we get it right when it starts. It's just like when little kids, Liam, now he starts going, when we tell him something, and then we say, go get this or stop doing that, he goes, no, no. Well, what if we just let him continue to tell us no?
Yeah.
After 15 years, let us tell us no. Now what happens? We have just a rebellious child that's, you can't even handle him. You're going to have to tell the devil no right when it starts. Because if you don't deal with it at the beginning, it just gets worse. You see what I'm saying? It's the same thing with kids. You got to nip it in the bud right when it starts. If you don't, it gets worse real quick. And kids learn at the beginning. Something Brother Ricky said, Pastor Ricky Edwards said. I don't know if y'all know him. And we were in Salida at a, I don't know, it wasn't a camp meeting. It was just some meetings we were having there. And he says, the devil has, I call them minions. The devil has his minions out looking what bothers you. What bothers you? Maybe it's stoplights for you. Maybe, now, will you lose your victory over a stoplight? The little foxes have just spoiled the vine. Lost your victory for the whole day. I've been there. I've done it. I'm sure I'm not the only one. But, you know, the devil has his minions out looking to see what bothers you, to see where the open door is. And if you don't close the door, it's the same thing in the natural. What if you went on vacation for a week, left the back door open the whole time, had the air, the heater on, all that stuff? You don't know what's telling in there. You don't know what's in there, right? And you start going around, making sure there's nothing in there. Most likely, there'll probably be something in there. It's the same thing in the spiritual world. You leaving doors open, stuff's going to get in. Stuff's going to get in, and it's going to find the path of least resistance. You see what I'm saying? When animals come in, they always find the path of least resistance. You see what I'm saying? They find a little hole, maybe that big, and the animal's that big. It doesn't matter. They will get in. Amen. I've seen snakes come through the air vents like that. Snakes hanging out of my air vents. For them, that's the path of least resistance. You see what I'm saying? Well, the devil knows your path of least resistance. You see what I'm saying? Praise God. Are you guys helped? I don't even know where I'm at here on my notes anymore. We just kind of blown through them, but praise God. Wow. Let's go to, I want to go to Acts 16:25, and I'm going to try to piece this together. 16:25, and this is the scripture. I was in the truck. I get a lot. I'm in my truck a lot. And I was just praying to God because I was just, my body was shot. The anxiety and fear and worry had just taken its toll on me. My body was, I was tired. And God brought up this scripture to me. And when I read it, I just started crying because I noticed it's not this bad. And basically, I'm not going to read it starts in Acts 16:19, I think. But it's basically when Paul and Silas, when they went, I think there was basically a possessed woman. I don't know if she was a witch or something. And following them around saying, these are the children of God or something on that tone. And basically they just got so fed up with it that they cast the devil out of her, and it the devil left her. And they knew the consequence what it was going to happen, because it had been falling around for like a week. And then they, let's see here, and then basically, let's go to 22, and I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Basically, the clothes, they were so mad that they ripped the clothes off of them buck naked. And the crowd also joined in the attack upon them, and the rulers tore the clothes off them and commanded that they be beaten with rods. Beaten with rods. And when they had struck them many blows and threw them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. That means if they get out, we're killing you. And having received so strict of charge, put them in the inner prison, the dungeon, and fasten their feet in stocks. They're still naked. They're beat up pretty bad. You know, Now, they had the opportunity to get discouraged real quick. Real quick. Now, how would we deal in that time? In that time of your cold, your physical body is shot. You know their physical body was shot. And it says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. They were singing and praising hymns. The natural don't want to, you know they didn't want to sing. The natural part of them. They didn't want to sing and rejoice. They're cold. And that really struck out to me. What do we do in times when it gets so bad? We start rejoicing. That's the answer, is that when things have disturbed us so much and it doesn't seem like there's any relief. I've had times where I feel like I'm on fire in fear, that it's like a blanket that falls over you and you're trying to get it off, and you'll do anything to get it off. I know why the world now, they drink, do drugs, because it's so hard if you don't have the Word of God. And you'll do anything to get some relief. Amen. And singing and praising hymns. And the prisoners were listening. And suddenly there was a great earthquake that the very foundation of the prison was shaken. Wow. That stood out to me so much, is I basically just started crying and I said, thank you, Lord. I see it now. That when those things come and try to destroy your life, is what do we do when it's on? When the heavy's on? When it doesn't seem like relief, you just can't get it. We just start praising God and thanking God for everything he's done, and say, oh, thank you, Jesus, for everything you've done. Thank you, Jesus. I'm getting to the other side. Thank you, Jesus. And some people want to do it for 5 minutes and quit. It's just easier to roll over and just take it. Yeah. Well, when, like I said, when does it stop? It stops when you put your foot down and say, no more. Yeah. No more. I'm not taking any more. I'm not dealing with it no more. And victory, singing hymns of victory, just praising God. When that fear comes, I'll just start praising God. I don't care where I am, if I'm on a lawnmower doing an engine. There's been times it's come at every time of the day. It wasn't too long ago, I was in bed, fear fell over me. It woke her up. And it's at 2 o'clock in the morning. People just, the body doesn't want to rejoice. You don't want to just get up and say, praise God, thank you, Jesus. But once you learn to start praising God in times of your darkest time, that's when it's going to break for you. Amen? Is when it doesn't seem like any relief's on the way. Praise God. Amen? Let me say something here that says, when, and I wrote this down, fear activates God's power, faith activates, I'm sorry, did I say that wrong? Fear activates Satan's power. Faith activates God's power.
Yeah, that's right.
And how much is that true? If we give in to fear and all that stuff, like I said, it just gets worse.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, there's one thing that, let's go to Psalms 55:22. What time did we start here? At 7 or 6? It's been listening to that. I'm not a long preacher. I know parents got kids. I know you guys got school tomorrow. And here's one thing that I've had to learn to overcome, because we've been doing it for so long that we hold these things. And it says Psalms 55:22, Amplified, cast your burden on the Lord, releasing the weight of it.
Amen.
And he will sustain you.
Amen.
He will never allow the constantly righteous to be moved.
Yes.
releasing the weight of it.
That
is something I've had to learn to do. So many of us have held on to these things like they're our baby. And we basically nurtured these things, these fears and anxieties. And my dad does this thing where he has the whole church write on notes what they're worried about. And he puts it on a beach ball and throws it away. Now, even though he's done that, when you walk right past that door, the devil will be there waiting with your slip back. And it's up to you to not take that back. Now, it might be the hardest thing you've ever done in your life, not take that back. And it's been some of the hardest things for me to say, no, I'm not taking that thought. I'm not taking that. Because the devil will bombard your mind with that. And it's almost like he's just pounding on your head with those thoughts that you have.
Yeah, yeah.
And like I said, the physical body might be worn out, but you just keep on going.
Yes.
Don't give up.
Amen.
Don't give up.
God.
Releasing the weight of it, that takes faith. Yeah. When you have to release the weight of it and say, you know what, I'm not going to think about those things anymore. God's got them. That God hasn't, but when you start thinking about him, and you've done it so for so long, you might not even thinking about that you was even thinking about it. Because you've done it for so long. You might just be sitting in your lazy boy, and you've done it for so long. Oh, wow, I was just thinking about those things again because I've done it for so long. And we're going to have to release it and recognize that and say, no more. No more. And I don't know how long it'll take for that, for your situation. But you just have to keep on.
Yeah.
Keep on. That's all you can do. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Are you guys blessed?
Yeah.
Let's go to Proverbs 3:24. Proverbs 3:24. You know, the Bible talks about, I went through the Bible and highlighted everything on peace and rest, and I think it was a lot. The Bible talks about it a good bit.
Yeah.
It's nothing that's new.
Right.
The Bible's talked about it. We just don't see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Proverbs 3:24, the Amplified, and it says, when you lie down, you shall not be afraid. You shall lie down and your and sleep shall be sweet.
Yeah.
But it gets to that point where you have to make up your mind and say, my sleep will be will be sweet. Because there's times that I'm restless thinking about things and it's up to you.
Right.
And so many Christians are waiting on God to come down and boom, boom, you know, it's all gone now. That's not the case.
No,
if that was the case, I don't know if y'all remember the demon when Jesus had a visitation of Jesus, and that demon came up and was jumping in front, and he couldn't hear what Jesus was saying yakety yakety yakety, is that what it said? Yeah, and going yakety yak, and he thought, isn't Jesus going to do something about that? Well, finally he said, I command you to get out of here, and that demon fell to the floor. And Jesus told him, if you didn't do anything about that, I couldn't. And it's the same thing in arena of fear.
That's right. That's right.
That's right.
It's up to us.
That's right.
And it says in 25, it says, be not afraid of sudden terror and panic. Wow. Be not afraid of it. You know, you got to be filled with the word to overcome these things. I'm serious, because if you just think, I'm just going to say what Brother Stephen said, and I'll just kind of do that. You got another thing coming. You're going to have to get in the word for yourself and build it yourself. Ain't no one going to do it for you but yourself. Then it says, let's go down to 26. For the Lord shall be your confidence, firm and strong, and shall keep your foot from being caught. Amen. So when you give that thing to to God, you can't take it back.
That's right.
And the devil will try to bring it to you back in any arena. There's things I'll be thinking about something completely opposite, and it'll come full circle back to that thought.
Yep.
I said, I see how you work. I see how you work. Tries to get in in any way he can. You know, and I don't know how long the test will be for you. I can't see, but you just have to keep on standing.
That's right.
Amen. I don't know if I've helped y'all tonight.
Oh,
I sure hope I have.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just there's let's go to one more scripture. And this is what really Dad Hagen preached, this scripture, and it just blessed me so much. Is Psalms 23:5. We're back in the valley of the shadow of death, and then it goes on. Then it goes on is that it says here in verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of thine enemies."
Yes.
Now, what's that mean? That says God set out a whole table of victory for you,
yes,
of peace, of joy, of happiness right before you,
yes,
in the presence of the enemy.
Yes.
And it's up to you what you want to keep your eye on.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Do you want to keep your eye on the devil behind you and see everything, and he's showing you all this stuff, saying, come here, come here, come check out all this stuff that you have to worry about? But how many of us have gotten up from the table?
Yeah.
Gotten up from the table and gone over to the enemy.
Yeah.
But if we stay seated at the table,
amen,
that's where the victory is.
Yeah.
We got to be in his presence to get to the table. Now, how do we do that? By praising God.
Amen.
That's one thing that's worked for me. And there's times where, like I said, I don't want to do it, but you just got to keep on.
Yeah.
Keep on.
Amen.
I asked Brother Tony to sing us a song, and I want y'all, when he sings it, I want y'all to stand up, and I want y'all to sing it from your heart.
Yeah.
Sing it from your heart, and remember, when you sing this, release the weight of what you're dealing with tonight. It ends tonight. When does it end? Like I said, it ends tonight. Say tonight.
Tonight,
tonight is the last night you're going to drop that stuff here and not deal with it no more. Amen.
Oh, victory is mine, victory is mine, victory today is mine. According to his word, I have what I heard, victory today is mine. Oh, victory is mine, oh yeah. Victory today is mine. According to his word, I have what I heard. Victory today is mine. Sing it out of your heart, come on. Victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. According to his word, I have what I heard. Victory today is mine. Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine. According to the word, I have what I heard. Joy today is mine. Joy is mine. Yes, it's mine. Joy today is mine. According to his word, joy today is mine. Peace is mine. Heart peace is mine. Oh, peace today is mine. According to His word, I have what I heard. Peace today is mine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We will rejoice because we've got your peace. Hallelujah. Peace is mine. Joy is mine. Happiness is mine. Contentment is mine. Everything that you have for me is mine. Oh, victory is mine. Victory is mine. Victory today is mine. According to His word, I have. Got it, it's mine. Oh yeah, peace today is mine. According to His word, I have what I heard. Peace today. Everybody, let's just rejoice in what we know already. We got victory. It's ours. Yeah. Hallelujah. Because joy is mine, yeah. Joy is mine. Joy is mine. Joy today is mine. According to His word, I have what I heard. Joy today is mine. Oh yeah. Oh yes, it's mine.
You sing that song to yourself. You sing those words that peace belongs to you, joy belongs to you, victory belongs to you. Amen? Don't give up. Don't give up. Amen?